I believe this is a picture that we can visualize. And I'm going to weave these verses together with Psalm chapter 1. And you're going to see what a deeper life follower of Christ can look like. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, "As you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow Him." Stop right there. If the shore represents the day you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the next part of that verse says you must follow Him. There's movement, there's action, there's forward going. It's not just to stay there and be content. You must follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him. Let your life be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, look at this picture now that Paul wrote, and I'm going to weave in Psalm chapter 1 with it. Once you place your faith in Jesus, you are called to a life that grows down into Him. Just like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. As you grow down into Christ, you are strengthened in your faith as you draw up from Him. He's your river of life. As you grow down into Him, you draw up from Jesus Christ, all that He has for you. As you draw up from Jesus, you are the tree that's firmly planted by streams of water. You will yield fruit in season, and your leaf will not wither. A growing, fruit-bearing, deeper life, Spirit-filled Christian will overflow with thankfulness as you prosper for the glory of Jesus Christ. You see, in the church today, I believe there's two different types of Christians, two different types of believers. There are Christians who live and they are doers of the Great Commission. There are those that have experienced and continue to experience the deeper life of Jesus Christ. So they are doers of the Great Commission. Then the church also has those of us who are disobedient to the Great Commission, and we remain stuck on the shore and never go forward. Those who live in the deep with Jesus have a longing for even more of Him, to even go deeper with them. You go to the beach. It's a great illustration. It's a hot day like yesterday. And you go in, and that water feels so nice on your feet. And before you know it, you take the plunge, and you're just all the way in. And you understand all of a sudden how great it feels, how refreshing it is, how enjoyable it is. That beginning, coming to faith in Christ, is just the beginning. He has so much, much more for all of us. We just have to get moving and following Him, taking that step, going out into the deep, experiencing more of Him, and realize that the deeper you go with Him, the more you become like Him, and the more you will enjoy of all that He has to offer for you. You see, those who live in the deep with Jesus have this longing for even more of Him, the deeper life. They move and they grow. They grow into Him and they draw up for Him all that He is. And then they go out for Him. Deeper life Christians, listen here, I'm going to use two different words in the same sentence that I want you to catch. A deeper life Christian becomes a deeper life disciple. There's a difference, I believe, between being a Christian and a disciple. If you're going to experience a deeper life of Christ, you're going to be a disciple. You're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to how Matthew describes this. Deeper life disciples are Great Commission disciples. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If any of you wants to be My follower..." Get off the shore and follow Jesus, stepping out with Him. If you want to be My follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross. Follow Me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for My sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world by losing your own soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with His angels in glory of His Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. A disciple doesn't care about anything other than following Jesus. You're saying no to everything else, but yes to Jesus. It doesn't matter the burden, doesn't matter how deep it gets, doesn't matter how messy it gets. Guess what, folks? Being a Great Commission disciple who's going to live the deeper life is going to get messy. It's going to get messy. And maybe some of you are like me, I have an OCD against messiness. I like everything clean, organized, in its place. But I've had to learn to get messy, to live the deeper life, and to experience the opportunity of working at reaching all people for Christ and making disciples. Now, I want to get to the core of this. I want to finish up quickly here. There's a reason I believe that churches aren't making disciples. Now, I'm going to ask you to be vulnerable with me a little bit and transparent. I'm going to share my story first, then I'm going to ask you to share with me. I came to faith in 1981. Some of you heard this testimony when I was candidating with you. It was September of 1981. I graduated from high school in June of 84. June 9th, to be exact, is in the front of my Bible that I got on my graduation day. But it wasn't till the middle of June that anyone took the time to get into my life and disciple me. The man's name was John. It was graduation Sunday at Fellowship Baptist Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Pastor Ron Seck had all the graduates come up, introduced ourselves, told where we're graduating and what we're doing next and what we're going. And came Kevin Hercules turn. Graduated from Lands Cruz High School, Mount Clemens, Michigan. I'm going to William Tyndale Bible College. I'm pursuing ministry, the call that God has on my life. The congregation, very appropriately, what they all do after everyone, yeah, yeah. After the service, with my little gift from the church, I was walking back and John said, come here, Kevin. You're never going to make it in the ministry. Huh. That was encouraging. I'm excited now. He goes, you're not a disciple. You've not been discipled. You don't know how to disciple anyone. And if you're willing, I will meet with you weekly or more than once a week in order to help you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I firmly believe today I would not be standing here if it wasn't for John, who wounded my heart with those words, but brought me to a deeper place in Jesus Christ and discipled me. Took time out of his schedule to pour into my life, to teach me the Word of God, to teach me a prayer life, to teach me how to walk in him, to understand what the Christian life is all about. What does it mean to take up your cross daily and follow him? What does it mean? And you know what's happened over the years and years of the church? We don't do that anymore. Now I'm going to ask you to be transparent. How many of you here can say at one point in your Christian journey, somebody got into your life and discipled you? Look at that. Great. It's not even 50% of those that are here today. Maybe 25% of us. If we're called to be disciples, if we're called to be disciple makers, why aren't we doing it? The first reason, because we haven't been discipled. Could you imagine Jesus saying, hey, Andrew, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So Andrew, for the next 3.5 years, just goes, Jesus doesn't say anything to him. He just has a train of 12 men following him every place he goes. No. Jesus poured so much into their lives that one day they said, of anything that they asked Jesus to teach him, what was it the disciples asked Jesus to teach him? What was that? How to pray. If there's ever a mark of a disciple, if there's ever a mark of a new believer, it happened with Paul on the way to Damascus. Ananias was told to go see Paul. He didn't want to go, but he was told, but he prays. The church is faltering, the church is weak, the church is unhealthy, the bride of Christ is unhealthy because we haven't made disciples. Many churches have no idea how to do it. Many churches don't spend time doing it. They just think it's going to happen by osmosis. They come to church, pastor will disciple us on Sundays. We'll go to a small group, we'll disciple in a small group. We'll go to Sunday school class, sure, you'll be a disciple there. And then eventually, it'll just happen. No, it doesn't work that way. Yes, this is the largest discipling time that you will have, because I'm wanting to disciple you corporately. That's just one step of becoming a disciple. Jesus had his closest three, too. He discipled all 12 of them, but he also got away with just a few of them, too. Spent some time intimately with them. So church, one of the things we need to seek God this summer, tonight's our first bonfire. If the weather's nasty, we're still having the bonfire, but it's not coming inside. We're still going to be here, though. We won't move the fire in. Set your church on fire, right? No, that's not what we mean, okay? We're still meeting tonight with or without the fire. If the weather's nasty, we'll just meet inside. But one of the things we need to determine as church, how is it that we're going to be able to know that we are effectively accomplishing the mission that Jesus Christ has given us? So to be a deeper life believer, a deeper life disciple, that's going to, the first thing we're told to do in Matthew 28 is to go. You got to take a step and follow. You don't remain. And as you're going as a disciple, you need to find someone to disciple you. We need disciple makers, and we need those that are being discipled. Those that are being discipled are also disciple making. There's always somebody further along in your spiritual journey. Doesn't matter. None of us have arrived yet because we're all still here on this earth. We need those that are willing to be discipled and those like John who are willing to come up and say, hey, you know what? I want to spend time with you and disciple you. But that's not the Minnesota Nice thing to do, to get up to somebody. I was in Michigan when they did it. They didn't know about Minnesota Nice. It takes time. But it takes you being a disciple. When we disciple, God's Word has already told us what to do. First, to baptize. You need to be baptized. And baptism is an outward, worldly testimony to all that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You've gone off the shore, you've taken your first step, and you're being baptized to identify with Him. No place in Scripture does it say the pastor has to baptize everyone. Guess who baptizes? The one that discipled you. If someone's discipling you, baptize that person. Disciple maker, baptize your disciple. Disciple, ask your disciple maker to baptize you. Be obedient to the waters of baptism. So my question is, who are you discipling? And who is discipling you? Have you been baptized? If not, get baptized. There was water all over the streets this morning. You could have done your way to church. We'll set that baptism tank up and leave it here every week if we need to. We'll go to the lake. Do whatever. Get them in water. Baptize them. It's an act of obedience, and God will bless it. The next thing you're told to teach. Disciple maker, teach your disciple. Disciple, allow your disciple maker to teach you. If you don't have a Bible, ask me for one. I'll give you one. Ask your disciple maker for one. Because what we're to teach is the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Don't teach your thoughts, your convictions. Teach the living Word of God, disciple maker. It's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. Teach him how to get through the Word. Teach him what God has to say. Teach him what Jesus has told you to do. Teach him the greatest commandment. Teach him the Great Commission. Teach him the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach him how to live a Spirit-filled life. But guess what, disciple? You can't do that unless you've been discipled. That's why it's not happening in the church. We all need to understand how to make disciples, and we can make disciples once we're discipled. And if we have been discipled, we are being disobedient if we're not discipling other people. Teach them God's Word. I just totally lost Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, teaching them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And don't forget, I am with you to the very ends of this age. So here's the point. What does Jesus mean? He's not physically with us, but He is spiritually with us because the Holy Spirit has been sent and we're not alone. Discipling and being a disciple maker is done through the Holy Spirit's empowerment in your life. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. You're able to make disciples. You're able to proclaim Jesus Christ. You're able to be that light of the world. Matthew chapter 6, the light is not hidden, it shines. The salt of the earth, you bring flavor where you go. If we're going to be Great Commission-minded followers of Jesus Christ, how are we going to make disciples at Crossroads Alliance Church? It's just not going to happen because we know we have to do it. It doesn't have to look like any other church because each bride of Christ is unique. But we must seek Him, have a mission to be disciple makers. Then the church is revived. The church is on fire. The church is growing. And you are learning how to live that deeper life. And the deeper you get in Jesus Christ, the more excited you become, the greater disciple you become, the brighter your light shines, the more your salt brings flavor, and people just get sick and tired of you because you're living and oozing just like Jesus every place you go. Has anyone ever told you, just get away from me, you remind me too much of Jesus? Maybe some, maybe not. Now, we don't do it to run people away, but when they, I want someone to know that when Kevin walks down, I know he's different because he has a relationship with somebody that I don't have. He's living a life different than I have. And that difference is Jesus Christ. If we don't own this, if we don't understand it, if we don't earnestly seek Him, if we don't know His plan, we will continue to do nothing for the kingdom of God in comparison to what we can do for the kingdom of God. It starts with that. It really doesn't matter to go through the rest of the fourfold gospel if we don't have this right. Because if we get this right, some of the things we're going to teach our people as the disciples that what Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, His power, His sanctification, His fruit, His gifting, His fullness, His everything, His anointing, His leading, the healing power, and that we have someone to be longing for in this journey into His likeness, and we're longing to see our coming King take us to be with Him in glory. We got to get this right first, church. We got to be willing to make disciples. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you this is how we're going to do it. Because I don't know you well enough. But what I'm asking you this morning is to allow this challenge in your heart to be willing to do whatever it takes to become a disciple-making bride of Christ. And I'm challenging you this morning, if you haven't been discipled, to be willing to be discipled. And I'm challenging you this morning, if you have been discipled, start discipling someone that hasn't been. It'll become the richest time in your life. If we accomplish this and move towards that, it'll be impossible to stop what God can do in and through this body of believers. First things first, let's become Holy Spirit-filled disciple makers for the kingdom of God, empowered by Him, making disciples, teaching, baptizing, letting people know the truth. And guess what? It's not a scary thing. Some of you looks in your face right now, you're petrified right now, wishing the storm would have kept you at home and you didn't make it in. It's okay. I'm just sharing what God's Word says. And this is what stops churches. Because we'll go home after today's service and say, oh, that was awkward. He really challenged us today. That's not for me. I'm not to say that. It's what Jesus has given us to do as a follower of His. This is our mission. Period. So the choice is in between you and your Savior. If you know Christ is your Savior, you need to settle that with Him on how it's going to play itself out in your life individually. And we, as the bride of Christ, have to settle with Him how we're going to do that as His bride. Individually and corporately, it has to be settled. Spirit-filled disciple makers, bringing our King's return. When this gospel is preached to the ends of the world, then what? Then Jesus will come. Jesus will come. You want to see your Savior? I long to see Him. You know what stops me from wanting Him to come today? You know what stops me? Scott, Todd, Eric, Brenda, Karen, Sam. I can keep going. What stops me from wanting Jesus to come today? Lisa, Sarah. That's why I don't want Him to come. I long to see my King, but I don't want Him to come yet. Because there are those in my life whom I love and have relationships with who do not know Him yet. And after He comes, there's no hope. It's eternal separation forever. Church, I'm asking you to resolve within your own life individually to take up the cross of Christ and follow Him. Stop being comfortable in your salvation. Learn to experience that deeper life one step at a time. Become a disciple. Find someone, ask someone to disciple you, and start discipling somebody else. You each need to do that on your own. I can't do it for you. But as your pastor, I'm going to lead us corporately in that direction. And I want you to come along to see what God will do, because I'm confident He will do great things. Because that's the type of God we have. Would you stand with me, please? Father, would You continue Your work in each of our hearts right now? Help us to make commitments. Help us to make the choices needed. Help us to be willing to get uncomfortable in order to become the disciple that You have called us to become. Father, You don't expect perfection from us. It's only our Savior who is perfect. But You have given us a mission. You've given us new opportunities to start again. Your forgiveness is everlasting. When we confess, You are faithful. You forgive us. You give us a new start. Father, may today be a day filled with new beginnings for each one of us. Beginnings of a willingness to be a disciple, to be discipled, and to make disciples. The willingness to let the Holy Spirit work in each of our lives to let Him have His way in order to take us into the deeper life with our Savior. May we see Your church grow. May we see lives change. May we see lost becoming saved. May we see Christians becoming disciples. All because we're willing to make this commitment to You today and give our life over to You and Your reins in our life so that You would take control.